You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Thanks for joining us here today on the Ideas Network. Governor Scott Walker signed a $3 billion incentive package on Monday as a way to solidify a deal between the state and the Taiwanese electronics manufacturer Foxconn. Foxconn is slated to build a factory in southeastern Wisconsin. Supporters of that plan say it could create some 13,000 jobs. But in a memo from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Legislative Council, the group found that some provision in the state's incentive package could be unconstitutional. Laurel White joins us now. She's the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about the provisions in this Foxconn deal that were reviewed here. They all relate to the courts and how the courts would treat challenges to Foxconn. Can you talk about what's in this incentive package that's at question here?
That's right. So this language has been tweaked a little bit over the evolution of the Foxconn incentive package. When it was originally introduced, it would have required the Supreme Court to take up court cases involving Foxconn if they were appealed and reached that, you know, kind of that threshold. It also would have placed an immediate stay on circuit court rulings. So the lowest court, if that decision was appealed, their ruling would automatically be stayed or blocked after the judge issued it. So that was kind of the first iteration. This was something that, when it was introduced as an amendment in the Joint Finance Committee, which was the Senate's committee for the Foxconn package, Democrats really pushed back on it, and they said that it kind of rigged the system, those were their words, and created an unfair advantage for Foxconn and special treatment, a special legal process for the company that other companies in Wisconsin aren't subject to. So that actually, that was approved by the committee. After that debate, Republicans who have the majority on the Joint Finance Committee voted it through. And when the Foxconn bill came up in the Senate, on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald introduced some small tweaks to the legal language for the judicial process. So as it stands right now, and as it is law that was signed by the governor on Monday, that immediate stay of circuit court rulings is still in place. So if a judge issues a ruling and it's appealed to a higher court, the appellate court, that ruling is automatically blocked. And there are some things, some elements that speed up the process for getting the case to the state Supreme Court. There's a timeline for appeals that dates that things, certain things have to be filed by. And then there's also some language in there that requires the Supreme Court to give these cases preference. It doesn't require them to take them, but it requires them to kind of consider them in a different way, weigh whether or not they're going to take them in a different way than other cases.
And now we've got this new report on the potential constitutional challenges to these provisions. First of all, who's this report coming from?
So it's coming from the nonpartisan legal office for the state legislature. It's called the Legislative Council. And this memo was requested by the Democratic leader in the state Senate, Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling, who's the minority leader there. And essentially what the memo says is that elements of the judicial process language in the Foxconn package could be up for a challenge. It doesn't say, yes, they are absolutely unconstitutional, or yes, they are absolutely constitutional. It just sort of says there's room to make an argument there if someone did want to challenge it in court.
And the potential grounds for that argument, as I understand the report, and this is some fairly complex legal stuff, but if I've got this right, there's this idea of separation of powers. The legislature gets to do this, the governor gets to do this, and the judicial system gets to do this other stuff. And the challenge might be along the lines of, hey, this is the legislature and the governor moving on in on judicial turf, and maybe that's a violation of the state constitution. Do I have that basically right?
Yes, I think you do. So it is pretty complicated, but yeah, it does boil down to one branch of government infringing on the core powers of another branch of government. So there are these things that are kind of considered exclusive powers of each branch. And so if the court was to find that this language infringes on that core power of the judiciary, if it was kind of a sole responsibility of the judiciary, it would be found to be unconstitutional. Now, there are also things called shared powers, where there are things that the legislature and the judiciary kind of collaborate on and influence each other on. And if this language is found to be within that shared powers realm, it could still be found to be unconstitutional if it places an undue burden on the judiciary. So there are a couple different arguments here and kind of different complicated layers of government that would be at play.
We're talking to Laurel White, State Capitol reporter for WPR News, looking at possible constitutional challenges to a part of the Foxconn incentive package, a part that would expedite cases involving challenges to Foxconn. And Laurel, those cases, these provisions move things quickly to the state Supreme Court. A legal challenge to these provisions would be in the state court system, which means they'd probably ultimately be decided by the state Supreme Court. It all goes to the same place, right?
Right. So the Supreme Court would be making a decision about their process, kind of making a decision about themselves, which is a little meta.
I was going to say, very, very meta justice here.
Right, exactly. So it could get pretty wonky, even more wonky and complicated if the challenge is mounted and starts moving through the court system.
Well, let's look at the response to this report and what people are saying about the constitutionality this week. What have we heard from Governor Walker and the state attorney general?
Well, we got statements yesterday from the governor and the attorney general saying that they have faith in this law. They think it's constitutional. They stand behind it. The governor said that this legal language helps have expeditious legal processes that don't, I think his word was stonewall Foxconn and stand in the way of thousands of jobs that would be at the facility, that are projected to be at the facility. And Attorney General Brad Schimmel said essentially the same thing, that he thinks it would certainly pass constitutional muster if it was to be challenged in court. He cited, not in his statement, but in some additional information that he sent with his statement, sort of federal processes that are similar to this in terms of automatic stays and judicial responsibilities, kind of who gets to decide what and things like that. So I think the governor and the attorney general are both pretty confident if this were to go to the courts that it would prevail.
And one of the motivations politically seems to be, hey, we've got this great opportunity to bring all these jobs into the state. Let's not risk thwarting it, slowing it down, maybe even stopping it because of, I don't know if the word frivolous was used, but because of potential frivolous legal challenges related to Foxconn.
Right, exactly. I don't remember if the word frivolous was used either, but I wouldn't be surprised, because I think that that kind of fairly encapsulates the argument, especially from the governor, about these lawsuits, that they're interested in having the process move quickly because the stakes are high, the thousands of jobs. And back in the committee, when Republican lawmakers were arguing in favor of this change, they said, you know, hey, it's good for both parties. It's good for Foxconn, and it's good for whoever the other party in the lawsuit is, because this moves it quickly, gets it to the Supreme Court more quickly, gets a decision for folks, and then they can kind of move on with their lives.
And how about critics of this, Democrats who voted against it and others who are worried about these provisions? What have you heard?
So Democrats are really just echoing that original argument against the language back from the committee. They're just reiterating that they think this kind of rigs the system, that it creates an unfair advantage for Foxconn, that it places a stronger importance on this big business than the people of Wisconsin, who might be the other party, you know, if it's an individual or a family, if it has to do with eminent domain or something like that, that Foxconn would have an advantage because of this law in the court system, and they don't believe that that's fair.
So we probably won't see how this all shakes out until Foxconn is in the works, somebody files some kind of challenge, and then as part of that challenge, they challenge these provisions, which affect how their challenge is made. Getting meta again?
Right, exactly. I think, you know, we're not, it's not new for us in Wisconsin to have complicated legal cases and multiple legal cases that interact with each other. You think about, like, the voter ID law, for example. So I think that we could be having a situation kind of like voter ID, where we've got multiple lawsuits and they're interacting with each other and they overlap a little bit. And it's definitely, if that challenge does emerge, will be complicated and interesting. And we will be here to talk through it together.
We'll talk to you then, Laurel, if not sooner, and probably sooner. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks.